Ephesians, where we stopped last time, and we're going to go on the gifts of grace part 2, and going through verse 9 and 10 today on Ephesians chapter 4, 9 and 10, which says here, I'll read from verse 8 so we know where we stop. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Verse 9 says, now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. There are some false teachings on these scriptures, so I just want to iron that out first. Well, first of all, when we see that the Lord ascended first, before his ascending, he descended first to the lower parts of the earth. We all saw that the word ascended means to rise from the dead and to ascend into heaven. That means his glorification. And the word descending from heaven, of course, we saw like before, it shows of his humiliation, all right? His incarnation, that is totally humiliation. And then how he descended to the lower parts of the earth. This has to do with his death and his burial. Now, the Old Testament, so here we see his death and resurrection. Basically, his death, burial, and resurrection. First of all, I want to show you in the Old Testament. If you look at the Old Testament, it's a shadow, okay? And the New Testament is a fulfillment. And we see in the Old Testament types of death and resurrections. There are three examples where I can find in the Old Testament, in a way that died and after 3 days resurrected. Okay? Anybody remember even one? Let me give you one example here. The first one that comes to my mind is the case of Isaac. Isaac, when God commanded Abraham to offer his only son as a sacrifice, Isaac was going to be a dead man. But he was released from death. Turn with me to Genesis. Hold on to Ephesians and turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 22 verse 2. Genesis 22:2. It says here, then he said, he said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Now here we see to Abraham that Isaac is more like a dead man. God told him a commandment to go and offer him as a burnt offering. When you offer, sacrifice somebody as a burnt offering, you know the result. He's dead. Isaac is basically like a dead man. Now see verse 4. I want to skip the balance and get to the point here. See verse 4. Then on the third day, now what did I say? Burial, Jesus, he died, right? And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And here we see on verse 4, and on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Here we see that Isaac was going to live. Abraham probably agonized thinking this for the 3 days. But on the third day, he knew that his son is going to live. Why do you say that? See verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. He didn't say, I will come back to you. He said, we will come back to you. And this is a beautiful example of a shadow in the Old Testament showing to Christ in the New Testament how Christ was going to be buried and how he is going to be raised on the third day. Let's see another example. I said there are three. This is one. Another one is, I see Hezekiah in the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And here the prophet spake and said, you shall die and not live. When the prophet speaks, you shall die and not live, you're going to die. Right? Here we see Hezekiah was good as dead. He was accounted as a dead man. His bed was to him like a grave now. But on the third day, there was a miracle of resurrection. If you go to Hezekiah chapter 20, verse 5. Second Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Second Kings chapter 20, verse 5. There is no Hezekiah in the Bible, a book called Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5 says here, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Wow. Another beautiful beautiful shadow in the Old Testament fulfilled in Christ Jesus. That Christ died and he was buried, but on the third day he rose from the dead. Alright, let me give you one more. The last one is easy. The last one is we see Jonah. Jonah was cast out into the sea, as you remember, and he was swallowed by a big fish. And Jonah was good as dead. And on the third day, the Lord spoke to the fish. And you know the story how Jonah was vomited to dry land. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 of this, Matthew 12, 40, got a new Bible, so it's kind of sticky. Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And here we see that how Jesus, just like how he ascended, before that he descended to the lower parts of the earth. Now, of course, there are a lot of false teaching on this one, as a lot of people say that when he ascended to the lower parts of the earth, some false teachers say that Christ descended into hell and he suffered under Satan. That he was punished and he suffered under Satan. You know, the crucifixion is not a sign of defeat. There are a lot of Roman Catholics, if you see their statues, you know, even, you know, everything what you see, what they show is Christ is being crucified. It shows that it's a sign of defeat. But crucifixion is not a sign of defeat, but a sign of victory over Satan. Again, going to hell and suffering under Satan is a false teaching. There are some also say that the lower parts of the earth has to do with purgatory. And you know, there's a, this is not true, absolutely not true. I don't see any of the Puritan or Reformed teachings on this. Okay, absolutely not. What they say is this has to do with Christ's death and his burial. That's it, basically. Now let me show you a contrast here on verse 8 and verse 9. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8 says here, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, verse 9 says, he descended to the lower parts of the earth. Here we see he ascended on high, then also on the other hand it says he descended to the lower parts of the earth. We see very clearly when he descended to the lower parts of the earth means Christ's lowest humility. His humiliation is extremely lowest on this, and when he ascended on high, his exaltation was the highest above any other person. So the very God of God became man. He poured out his soul unto death. And this is the lowest of humiliation. In Isaiah chapter 53 verse 12. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. This is talking about the Lord Jesus. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And how he poured out his soul unto death. Jesus spoke of his death and his resurrection to his beloved disciples many times, but they did not get it. They did not understand. Jesus said that to his disciples, that his death will bring deep sorrow to the disciples for just for a little while. But the world is going to rejoice of his death. But after a few days, the sorrow of the disciples are going to turn to joy. Now, if you turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 16. John 16, 16. Quote the scripture. Jesus said, a little while you will not see me. John 16, 16. A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he's saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. He said to them, are you inquiring among yourself about what I said a little while? And you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. Then Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Wow. His descending to the lower parts of the earth shows his utter humiliation. And it shows that when he was buried, that it shows our sorrowfulness. But when he ascended to the highest part, it shows that we can rejoice. And here, that's very beautifully how it shows here. Now, when he descended to the lower parts of hell, we see the love of Christ. We see the love of Christ. Not only taking the punishment for our sins, but going to the lower parts. When he says he went to the lower parts of the earth, It shows that Christ can, he came down to the most deepest and the darkest and the unreachable place where he cannot, where nobody can go. So it means that he can go even to the places like China or Arinjaya or to some places in Africa, to the most deepest or the jungles, and he can go and reach even the worst, cruel, the ugliest, the most wicked type of a sinner. He went to the lowest part of the earth. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He can save to the uttermost who come to God through him. The worst, wicked, miserable sinner can be saved through Christ Jesus as he went to the most lower parts of the earth. This was a very deep humiliation of Christ. It was, when you talk about the lower part of the earth, it shows how deep his humiliation was. Then we see how he ascended upon high. We see his exaltation, how great, how glorious was that. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, it says here, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. The humiliation and exaltation, it benefited us. Right? It benefited us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, or the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Wow! He brought many sons to salvation. And this is amazing. This is the gospel here. Death, burial, and resurrection. And how we were benefited by it. Now, verse 10, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 says, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He was exalted above the earth. He was exalted above the skies. He is above all the stars, above all the heavens, the glorious majesty, King Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father. This is the mystery of salvation. That how we are saved. Why is it me, a miserable sinner like me? You know, the work of God is that how he came down from heaven to save us. I'm sure the angels in heaven were looking forward to this, and they were amazed of what Christ did. They were amazed. There is a prefigure type of his ascension in the world, in the Bible. There's a prefigure type of his ascension in the Bible. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44. Ezekiel 44, starting from verse 2. And the Lord said to me, this gate shall be shut, and it shall not be open, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it, therefore it shall be shut. As for the prince, because he is a prince, he may sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by a way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out of the same way. Also he brought me the way of the north gate to the front of the temple. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. Here we see the gate of Holy of Holies was shut against every man. There's nobody can enter through this gate, or nobody can enter through their good works, good merit, or any of your own righteousness. Absolutely not. The gate was shut. But only the prince of princes, the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, has opened the gate for us. Now we can. He entered in our place. This is just a prefigure, just a shadow of what Christ have done. He entered in our place. Now, not only that, says that he brought us the way north gate to the front of the temple. So I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. Now I see the glory of the Lord has fell on the church. It is amazing what he has done. It is amazing. All the glory and the honor goes to Christ for what he has done. Then also in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19, Hebrews 6:19, this hope, we have an anchor of the soul, but sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having have become high priest over according to the order of Melchizedek. And here we have our hope that Jesus has entered, and now we can enter through him, because he represented us, and he is our great high priest. Now, Christ descended in humility and ascended in honor and glory. He ascended up far above all heavens. It means they say the highest of heavens. King Solomon said in 1 Kings 8:27, let me read. King Solomon said, 1 Kings 8:27, this is King Solomon talking about build the temple, and he says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? I built this little temple for the Lord. But God cannot contain in this little temple. Even the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain God. Christ, you know, is glorious here in his ascension. In verse 10, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, it says here that he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. See that little sentence there. He might fill all things. Apostle Peter gives a good summary here on this scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse 15, where we read today. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Acts 3, 15. How Peter's, you know, talking to the leaders, Peter talking to the Jewish people, when he said, and kill the prince of life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we were witnesses. And Peter is telling them, you killed the prince of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses. Then he goes on to say, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. That's the man who was lame, who couldn't walk. So, and then he says, whom you see now, yes, the faith which comes through him has given the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ would suffer, and he has thus fulfilled. And Peter is saying what was said in the Old Testament, the shadow of what Christ was going to suffer, his death and resurrection, it is being fulfilled today. It has been fulfilled in Christ. Then he says, verse 19, repent therefore and converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, and whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So here he says that God has spoken by the mouth of his prophets since the world began, that heavens must receive until the times of restoration of all things. In verse 10, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 says that he might fulfill all things. Now, what are these things that Jesus fulfilled? All what is predicted of Christ will be fulfilled. His incarnation, his life, his teachings, his miracles, his obedience to the Father, his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, he fulfilled all these things, and he fulfilled that he is our mediator, his our high priest, his priestly office. How he fulfilled mediator, high priest, and also as a high priest interceding for us. All these things are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And his kingly power and authority and his second coming, that is going to be fulfilled. We don't have a human high priest who entered the Holy of Holies once a year. That is in the Old Testament. But we have a great high priest who intercedes for us, not once a year, but every day. And once a year with sacrifices, but here daily without sacrifices, because he was the sacrifice. Jesus was the victim, and also he was the high priest, so he might fulfill all things. One of the things that Christ fulfilled was he couldn't. He said, if I don't go away, I cannot send you the Holy Spirit. Remember that? He had to go away. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. All things. That is, Jesus had to go away. So now the Holy Spirit has come. It is the Holy Spirit who will give us the wisdom. It is the Holy Spirit who will give us the knowledge. It is the Holy Spirit. When we read the Word of God, the Bible says this Word is God breathed. Okay? It is the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to understanding of all things. And the Holy Spirit that come, he has come to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. We are just a vessel that he can present. That now we can present the gospel to all nations. Now even, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, where Jesus said, go therefore. Verse 18 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So we are to teach, we are to make disciples and teach them all things what Jesus has taught. And the Holy Spirit will bring us to remembrance of those things. Right? So it's so important for us to see that Holy Spirit will testify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will give exaltation to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit will teach us more on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will be exalted. And what is the upshot of all this now? You and I were in trouble with God. We were under the wrath of God. We were in deep, deep sin. And there is no cure for sin. No doctor can prescribe any medicine for sin. And nobody can cure you out of sin. And the wages of sin is death. And that's the road we were going. And that's what we all had. We had that inherited sin in us. There's no way that we can come out of sin. And we were under the bondage of sin. There's no way. A lot of people try to be good. You know, everybody has some kind of New Year resolutions. You know, I'm trying to be good. This is what I want to do. Even a lot of people in other religions, they have good type of moral values. But there's no way they can get away from sin. You know, people do all kinds of things to be good. You can meditate, in your lotus, in Buddhism and Hinduism, their lotus positions, and do whatever they want to do. Stand on your head or whatever you want to do. But you can never get away from sin. There is the power of sin. I remember when I was a Buddhist, there was on the full moon day, I used to meditate. You know, just meditate. What do you meditate? On whom? I don't know, just meditate. When you meditate on nothingness, the worst things come to your mind. You'll be thinking about every bad thing. You know, I was a teenager, I was thinking about girls and, you know, this, all the worldly things, and there's nothing else to meditate. There's sinfulness in us. And you and I were deeply in sin. We were in danger of Christ's wrath, under God's wrath. Now, Christ, when he came from the highest position. He didn't come from earth, but he came from the very highest position to the lowest position of the earth. And he was able to locate you and me wherever we were. Just imagine. If you were in the Philippines in a certain little town, Christ was able to come and locate you. And if you were in Sri Lanka, or I was in Sri Lanka, he was able to locate me. That's why Christ came from the highest position to the lowest position. No matter what kind of work you did, what kind of background you were, what kind of mood you were, situation you were, he was able to come and find you. And that shows he came and he broke the power of the enemy. Wow! When we heard the gospel for the first time, when we heard the gospel that Christ can save sinners, and something just like lights came off to our brains, and we were able to read and see for the first time. There was a hunger for the Word of God when we never had before. Then He raised us. When we were dead in sin, He was able to raise us. This is spiritual resurrection. As Christ ascended up on high, the Bible says now that we are seated in heaven with Him. And also, as Christ ascended up on high, He never died. He died, but He rose from the dead. He ascended up on high. In the same way, we are His children, and we are not We will taste death, but just for a little while. Only for a little while. John chapter 11 verse 25 says, John chapter 11, 25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now you will die, but yet you will live. And he said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You will never die permanently. You will live in Christ Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, how the Lord said, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That means, Paul says, death to the Christian is just falling asleep for a while. Lest your sorrow as others have no hope. Then verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are fallen who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Wow. They're talking on the second coming of Christ. When he says here very clearly, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel. It's not a secret coming. You will hear with a shout. That is public, big shout. It's not a secretly. Suddenly you will see people have disappeared. There's nothing like that in Scripture. And here, the dead in Christ will rise. Says here, dead, only dead in Christ will rise. If you are not in Christ, you will not rise. If you are in Christ, you will rise. So here, even death is just asleep for us. But all what Christ has done. Now this is amazing. Now next time we are going to go through how he has given gifts for us, for each one of us, for people who he has given. He had made apostles, teachers, and so forth like that. So now we are waiting till Christ comes. Until then, we need to occupy ourselves until he comes. And we need to occupy, we need to encourage one another, We need to build one another so that people of God, will be still in this world. We are like in the wilderness. We need one another. Because so much temptation is going on, so much sin around us and so much worldliness around us, if we cannot be left alone, we need one another. Alright? Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this time. Every time we see the scripture, we see Christ. Without Christ, there's no Bible. Without Christ, there's no preaching. Without Christ, there's no church. And without Christ, we won't be here, Lord. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you for sending your beloved Son, Christ Jesus, on our behalf. How he came from the highest of heavens to the lowest part of the earth, that he was able to find us where we were and brought us from death to life, and made us a new creature in Christ Jesus, so that we can worship you for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and